Light and peace in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. This little piece of the scriptures we call holy comes, almost any of us knows, from what we have come to call the Old Testament. Now, just by so naming it, we have come to think of it as, well, kind of outdated, a relic of a past presided over by a God whom we, another term we associate with its oldness, fear. Mighty and judgmental and angry. That above all, angry. A God so powerful and vindictive that we do our best to get past it swiftly so we can get to the new part, the part where we find Christmas. This part we like maybe best of all. Shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night, and angels singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Well, if I were smart, that's what I'd say this morning. But as I climbed the stairs to our home office the other day to set down what I would say today, I did so with two voices in my mind. The first from our rector. "Ah, don't worry too long about a sermon, just wing it," he told me. The second from my wife. "For pity's sake, there's only going to be six people in church." Well, let's start with that second piece of advice. Count noses in the Christmas story, the way Luke tells it, you know, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus, and you find Mary and Joseph and a few shepherds. Why, you probably need to count the baby's nose to get as many as six. I mean, even we are a more impressive gathering. Now, about the pastoral advice. No doubt there are many places where this morning some who are charged to bring the Christmas word are doing something like that, winging it. And I don't mean like those angels from the realms of glory. But on this sixth day of Christmas, St. John asks us to think more wisely, more carefully, to go deeper, and to ponder the eternal significance of the Holy One of Israel. Why? Where to start telling the wondrous mystery of Christmas? Well, of course, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is breathtaking. I remember a lecture I attended at my seminary where one learned rabbi was teaching us about Torah, the first portion of the Hebrew scriptures, which we share as the Bible's first five books. Genesis 1:1, a verse most of us can recite from memory, huh? In the beginning, God created, huh? In Hebrew, That word, that phrase is rendered as a single word, Bereshit. The rabbi said that that word can also be translated with the Torah as the blueprint God created. Which means that one might even say that what St. John means us to try to grasp is that the story of the Word made flesh, the good news of Christmas, was the basis for all creation. God comes to us. Not just on December 30th, or even on the 25th, but from the very beginning of all that is. See what I mean? It's breathtaking. It becomes even more so when we take in what the prophet Isaiah promises. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. This promise tapped me on the shoulder the night of our recent Lessons and Carols service when William Blake's poetry was read. Little lamb, who made thee? Dost thou know who made thee? I know, says the poet. So do I, says St. John. The one who made the heavens and the earth, who from the beginning so loved the world that he sent the Word into the stable, into the manger, into you and me. For he calls himself a lamb. He is meek and he is mild. He became a little child, I a child, and thou a lamb. We are called by his name. Little lamb, God bless thee. Little lamb, God bless thee. When you were created, God was not winging it. No, the promise of Christmas is this, and it's a promise about you and me. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.